Hey, everybody, it's Mark My Words with the boys. I say the boys because, you know, I like that because our last names all begin with a B. And so does, you know, B, boys, whatever. That's what our panel's called, the boys. Lonzo Ball is a $495 shoe. Are you buying it?
I'm going to pass. I'm going to pass. Find the opportunity to buy one of those shoes, yeah? You know the resale value on them? What if he stinks? What if he's not going to be in them?
It don't mean anything. There's a reason why it's $495, too. They're making a limited supply. Them shoes in that sneakerhead market, make a good deal of money doing that.
You're going to tell me if he's the next Greg Oden and he's a bust, their shoes are going to be worth a lot of money in a few years.
Kanye West is a fucking bust, and his shoes are worth $1,000 a pop.
How's Kanye West? How do you define Kanye West as a bust?
Yeah, he's not. Yeah, I mean, he makes every album.
I mean, as a fashion designer, if you look at his fashion, I don't nothing really pops out to me. A couple of his shoes are nice, but overall,
that's because he's trying to design for the high end, like Louis Vuitton and Gucci people. He's not trying to call to us. You know, we're the middle class.
You obviously haven't seen his fashion lines, then.
I see it. I understand that. I think those Yeezys and all that are ugly, but people buy it. People crave that. People go to the stores and line up for those shoes. I don't know why. I don't. I have never owned anything of Kanye West other than CDs in 10 years ago.
That's all you should own.
Right. Yeah.
I don't even know if I owned one. I'm from the bootleg age.
I just think that, dude, I mean – I saw Shaq actually tweet to LeVar Ball about ripping the kids off for having a shoe at $495. Well, that's pretty gutsy. Dude,
good for him. I mean, it literally makes LeBron's shoes and like Curry's shoes are pretty cheap nowadays. But like it makes like those even like high end like LeBron, KD's, even Kobe's still like he makes them look extremely cheap for a guy who's never played a second in the NBA.
Do you remember back in the day when Stephon Marbury came out with a really expensive shoe and it like flopped totally and they were selling it for like a buck then or something? It was really cheap then.
Yeah, the Starberries.
Yeah, they had such an oversupply of them, they were giving them away.
I do remember.
The Yankees are off. I was going to ask you if Aaron Judge hit a homer tonight, but because he hits one every night.
He may have somehow.
Yes. Somewhere, yeah. You see him put that ball through the TV?
Yeah.
So he doesn't just hit home runs. He crushes balls. I mean,
they're no doubters.
Oh, my God. They really are. The only one that was like – the one in Boston, the opposite field, was a little – I mean, that wasn't one of his better ones, but when he gets a hold of them, it's – He's impressive, and you know,
yeah, I think he'd be really fun to watch in the home run derby.
Yeah, he has to be in it, right? I mean, he better.
You would imagine,
dude. I mean, he might be most. I mean, it's only May 4th, but he might be most valuable player in the American League right now.
As of right now, I can't, because it's not like he's hitting all these home runs and hitting 260. I mean, he's hitting over 300, and. And a lot of people, if you're not necessarily a Yankee fan and watch a lot, is he's playing well above average defensively for them.
Right. Where would they be without him? I mean, coming into the year, Gary Sanchez was considered their best player. They're without their best player then, if you go off of that thought. And if Aaron Judge is hitting 205 with four homers right now, they're probably around 500. I mean,
right. I saw there was a Twitter poll of if you could only have one, who would you have, Sanchez or Judge?
Oh, my God, is that hard? That's hard.
Yeah, I would take Sanchez just because, I mean, yeah, a catcher like that doesn't come around very often.
Yeah, it's a good point.
It's slim picking from them. Like, I feel like after the top five, there's a the middle is so – so full of different people that you almost have to take Sanchez.
I think we owe Damon some love for his renewed glory in baseball. I've actually gotten some text messages from him about baseball and everything. I almost fell over dead the one day. He's like, hey, this guy's doing this. This guy's doing that. I was like, holy. So we got to shout him out.
Committed this year.
Did you sign that letter of intent, though, or are you backing out and going to another school?
I signed that letter of intent. I ain't one of them. Some guys.
So we were texting last night a little bit, and I was told to go to bed. I guess I was rattling off some things. I'm going to address the elephant in the room, the Jeff Green over – oh, we're going to put it on wax again. Jeff Green over James Harden was said last year, retracted the statement. As you guys know, when I don't like a player, I don't like a player, and I will say some crazy things. Now, James Harden totally flipped the switch for me when he started talking about I play every night, I won't let my players down, yada, yada. Now, as you know, when he has a tough game, I call it out because I called out how bad he stunk last night. But he's like whatever with me now. I don't dislike him. I don't love him. So it's like, okay, so now I'm not going to say I would take Jeff Green over James Harden. I would obviously take James Harden. But with that said, I could still name five or six players that I'd rather take over James Harden.
This year, I mean, we've said it. It's I just don't really understand that. I mean, well, you're watching him play what he does. He says he's out there every night. He plays hard. I mean, how can you take who? What six, five or six guys are you taking over him?
Well,
I can give you three right off the bat right now.
This year.
Leonard and Russell Westbrook will take him right now.
And then who are you taking? KD and then who?
KD.
I'm not taking Durant.
That's where
I mean, this year's kind of tough because, I mean, he's played so limited. But, I mean, who's the only other guy I could think of.
When everybody's healthy, I think Kevin Durant's the second best player in the world. I mean, I guess, yeah, I would have to probably put Harden five. I'm not under those beliefs that Isaiah Thomas has a 53-point game and now he's, like, top five. And that's not true. That performance was ridiculously awesome, but I'm not going to say that, you know, he's top five. So I guess Harden for me would be five or six. And if I think about it, if I want to go with a big guy, I don't know.
You'd think about it.
Hey, next year if Joel Embiid plays 82 games, I might say Embiid.
It's true.
I mean, if Larry Brown played, I'd say Larry Brown. Shout out to LB.
Obviously.
I think it's and you don't fall off and hang up on me, but LeBron is one, unfortunately.
I mean, obviously, it's, and to be honest, it's so much. It's not even as close as anybody thinks, really. I mean, he's doing stuff now that he hasn't done in his whole career.
The reason people actually bring it into a conversation now is because of the years that Russell Westbrook and James Harden had. But that's 1 year. I agree. LeBron has been doing it for so long. He cruises through the regular season and still gets MVP consideration. Then, as you see in the playoffs, he scores almost 40 like it's cake. There's another level. I get it. Yeah, I agree. LeBron and Damon, we used to go back and forth about this even 2 years ago. I wouldn't give LeBron that title, but I was wrong. You know, he is. He's the best player in the world, and, you know, he has been for the last, what, 8-9 years. When did Kobe retire? That's when he was the best.
Obviously. Kobe retired last year. Talking 8-9 years. You know, remember a 60-point game about a year ago this month?
Wait. Hold on. Is this the first year that he's not playing? Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Hey, I'm getting old.
It feels weird. I know. Yeah, I mean –
it seems like it's been like 3 years.
See a guy out there every year for what, 16, 18 years, Kobe playing?
Yeah, no,
he might. Is he 20?
Yeah, but you know what? Like, all I remember of his last three seasons is that 60-point game. It was almost like he was retired. I mean, he was playing six games. He was, like, hurt. I mean, all right, so LeBron's been no doubt the number one guy for at least 5-6 years. Kobe could be in that conversation, I think. He's an assassin. He's a killer. I like Kobe. He played every night. He played hard. He played hurt. Me personally, in their prime, I would rather Kobe Bryant on my team. You know, Damon knows how I feel. He did not rape that girl. That's such bullshit. It's not even funny.
Dude.
Who said that?
And
he did not. Kobe Bryant would have to rape somebody. Are you kidding me?
Dude.
Mike Tyson didn't rape that girl.
Uh-huh.
Tupac Shakur didn't rape that girl.
Didn't Kobe Bryant go to court for that?
Yeah, she dropped the charges.
Yeah, he settled out of court. I mean, there comes a time and place where you don't want to put your name through all that defamation. You're like, all right, whatever. Take your money. You got what you did. It was probably the most expensive piece of ass besides his wife Vanessa that he ever had, because after that he had to go get her a $10 million ring or something. So I don't.
Simple rule: don't cheat.
Yeah, what's your last name?
Arletta.
It's a birthright, buddy. It just happens. No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. Yeah. So Tony Parker. Tony Parker's out for the playoffs. Is that going to affect anything, you think, or you thought the Spurs were
done? I personally going into it, I wanted the Rockets to win and thought the Rockets were going to win that series, so I really don't think it has that much of an effect on it. To a big scale, not a small scale in the season, in series, obviously, yeah, that plays a role. But
let me ask,
like I said, either Rockets are winning that anyway.
I didn't have the balls to pick the Rockets. I said that they were going to give them all they can handle, and I thought the Spurs were going to win in seven. Is Tony Parker old enough now where you could almost consider them being better without him? Is that fair to say? Or?
Situations, yes. I mean, you got to look at it this way. He's a 38, 36-year-old man out there running up and down the court. Some plays he's not going to be able to keep up with these younger guys or these quicker guys. But yeah, then again, there's also plays where that only Tony Parker can make on that team. So, yeah, you know,
I think he's such an outstanding floor general. And then you take that. I think it would be one thing if this happened in the middle of the regular season. But I mean, you're starting to look up and down that roster, and it's not what it used to be. I mean, there's not.
No, he's not the first or second best player on that team anymore.
Oh no!
But I'll tell you.
He's been in the playoffs. How to win in the playoffs.
I'll tell you whose candle has totally burnt out for me. That's LaMarcus Aldridge. He stinks. That guy is awful. What happened to him?
He hasn't really been the player that they hoped since coming over from Portland.
Oh, my God. Dude, he only takes like four or five shots some nights. He'll get you like 10 points, 10 boards. I mean, I know they don't go to him. They sort of spread it. I mean, they give Kawhi his 20 and then they spread it out. But I thought LaMarcus Aldridge was going to be a much bigger player for them. I mean, obviously, he's still important. They won 61 games without Tim. I mean, something's clicking there. Obviously, they have a great coach, but – great interviews.
He's not sticking out as much as he did in Portland.
No, he's not like.
Yeah. And even in Portland, he was. I mean, you can't say that he's not. Now he's on a team with stars because in Portland with Damian Lillard, he still stood out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree. I mean, I remember it was a huge deal when he went to San Antonio, and never seemed like it panned out there for him.
I said this the other day talking with you guys on Xbox. I said the Spurs without Kawhi Leonard, I don't know if they'd make it out of the first round of the playoffs. I still think they are good enough to get there, but I don't know without him if they'd make it out of the first round, which is Aldridge and
that's what they have. That's a reasonable thing to say. They were two games away from not making it with them. So
we all know who was fighting with me on that one, Matt.
What?
Shout out, Bird. He'll be listening to this.
I mean, you take Kawhi off that team. I mean, he was on the team, and they were – there was a time where they were only two games away from being eliminated the way it was. So I mean, you take him off that team. I mean, they're obviously they're not a two seed.
I don't even. I mean, they'd be like an eight seed. I don't even know if they. I think they without Kawhi Leonard, they may be.
They're bad.
They can miss the
playoffs. I mean, I shouldn't say that they're bad, but they're nowhere near what they are.
It's not too much to fathom that without him, they wouldn't even be in the playoffs. I don't think that's...
Nah, I mean, they don't have a true elite scorer besides him.
No, well, I mean, obviously what we were just talking about, I mean, if Kawhi's not on that team, LaMarcus Aldridge better be averaging 20-something a game. I mean, he better be way better than he is. But yeah, I don't think they're getting out of... I don't think they're making the playoffs and advancing out of the first round without Kawhi Leonard. No way.
I agree.
Oh boy, I have a.
Well, guys, I just entered my bomb shelter. We all agreed on something, so you know what that means. World's about to end. Everyone, stay safe. Hug your loved ones.
What do you guys think of the racism in Fenway Park?
I agree with it. I don't condone it. Am I surprised by it? No.
What is
Fenway? I mean, they have some dirty fans. Not saying other stadiums and teams don't, but. Not surprised by it at all.
The Red Sox have dirty fans. They have dirty uniforms. They have a dirty logo. They have a dirty venue. They have a dirty groundskeeper.
I will say this, though. For how pathetic of a thing that it was that happened, I think the rest of the Red Sox organization handled it well, and the other fans handled it well. By the next night when he comes up giving him a standing ovation.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, listen, me personally, I think that happens, this sort of name-calling happens at every stadium. For some reason, it just got brought to light there. I'd be surprised if you go to every other ballpark and you don't hear something of that nature. I'm not saying it's right.
And I think the Red Sox handled it as they did. I mean, they banned him from Fenway Park for the rest of his life.
They did, and that's what should happen. Nowadays, I mean, enough's enough with that stuff. And I agree. It was a nice gesture by, you know, I like Adam Jones. Every time I look at him, he reminds me of Eric Davis, the old Reds outfielder. And he used to play for Baltimore himself at one time.
Yeah, I'm a big AJ guy. I mean, I think he plays the game right. He plays it hard.
Now, is your brother, is he a Mariners fan or an Orioles fan? Don't tell me he likes both of them. That's not allowed. What is it?
I mean, he's still a Mariners fan, but I mean, I guess being around him so much day in and day out, it just kind of comes with the territory. And it's not like if I went to work for the Red Sox as a Yankee fan. I mean, the Mariners aren't relevant ever. And realistically, neither are the Orioles, if you think about it.
Yeah, not really. They're always on the fringe of becoming relevant again. Ever since Jeter hit that homer, man. That was a homer. It was clearly 15 feet over the fence, by the way. It was in the fourth row, for crying out loud.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord. What a Celtics. Yeah, they're getting hammered tonight, so it looks like it's going to be 2-1. You know, Isaiah Thomas, I mean, he had 53 points, and I went on a little tweet binge about it. Like, why – can John Wall not guard him and face him up? I mean, he's 10 inches taller. Like, stay on the kid. Well, what is this thing – and Charles Barkley said it on TNT. What is this thing in the NBA now where they have these big guys switching on these point guards? They're blowing right – for what? I don't get it.
John Wall's too busy yelling at Julio Jones and should be more worried about playing basketball.
John Wall's good, though, right?
John Wall's a hell of a player now. Yeah, so let's give him some credit, though.
I'm not saying he's not, but, I mean, there's no way that you should let – you're a superstar in the NBA. There's no way that you should let – I don't care who it is you're guarding – score 50-plus points in a playoff game. I mean, it just shouldn't happen.
AI did it to Baron Davis, dropped 55 on him against Charlotte. AI did it against – I'm going to say the whole Raptors team because they threw everybody at him when they scored 50. But I get what you're saying. I mean, yeah, that's
– it's embarrassing.
You're not –
it really is.
I would be
– yeah, it's embarrassing. I don't put so much of the blame on just John Wall in particular himself.
Well, no, because they switch out and different people – it wasn't like John Wall was the only guy on him all game. Now in the NBA, they do zone half the time. I mean, I get that. But, I mean
– I do blame John Wall a little bit for going cold in the fourth quarter in overtime, though.
Yeah,
he had a very hot beginning to the game, but he finished a little. He sizzled out at the end.
Yep.
That cost his team.
Played awful in the fourth quarter and in overtime. You know, you can't do that. That's – now, here's a question. Is Isaiah Thomas a top 10 player? Is he a legit superstar in the NBA?
This second-tier superstar to me.
So, yes.
This year – I mean, I would put him at least this year, at least right on that fringe of the top 10. I mean, you can't take anything away from what he's done this year.
Yeah. He had a great year. And if Russell Westbrook and Harden don't have such anomaly years, I mean, Isaiah Thomas would probably be MVP runner up. I mean, he'd be right there. He had a great year. Now let's just say, you know, taking their whole career in the consideration before and after, as we stand right now, if you could take, you know, to win one game tonight, you could take Chris Paul, John Wall, or Isaiah Thomas. Who are you taking?
I'm going to surprise you here. I'm not going to go with what you're going to pick, Marky and Chris Paul. I'm going with John Wall.
I thought you were going to go John Wall.
I'm going to go with Chris Paul.
Yeah.
Chris Paul is a great point guard, but I don't know what the problem is in the Clippers. If it's his problem, that it's just the team's problem. I know injuries come into play, but still, you never like to use him as the main excuse. But
Well,
Chris Paul did play bad in a lot of spurts in that series. He didn't have a great series either in that round one
when they got bounced. The problem with Chris, and I would take Chris Paul. You know my feelings about Chris Paul. I think
that if you're taking Chris Paul first, then I mean you have to look at your team because Chris Paul is not the type of scorer that John Wall or Isaiah Thomas is.
That's what I was going to say.
Yeah, but you say he could, but he never does that. That's not his style of play. And I don't think he could if he tried.
Exactly.
If you put the whole load of a team on him, I don't think that Chris Paul could offensively carry a team anymore.
You just basically took the words out of my mouth. However, where I disagree is, yes, he can, but he doesn't do it because he's too busy worrying about being a facilitator and a floor general. Chris Paul can score 30 a night in the NBA. He could definitely do that. He just doesn't. He doesn't have it in his DNA.
30's hard. I could give him the high teens, low 20s, but I don't think Chris Paul
is going to
score 30 points a night.
High 30, teens.
30's tough.
High teens. Fucking Lou Williams could score 19 a night if he wanted to. He can just drive to the free throw line six times or drive the lane six times, get fouled by these referees. He'll call like four times.
Yeah, he'll be hurt by that. He's fragile, Chris Paul.
No, he's not.
That's what James Harden does.
No, Blake Griffin's the one that keeps getting injured on that team. He is, and I think in basketball, injuries are a little bit more they do factor in. You only have five starters. You lose one, you lose 20% of your team. Whereas football, you have 50. You could afford, as long as it's not to a quarterback or something, you could afford injuries.
Oh, yeah, especially in this situation. I don't care what sport you're playing. When it's one of your top
–
he's the second best player on that team. You lose your second best player. That's big.
I have no – for the people that say Chris Paul has never been to a conference finals, and I have no defense for that. I get it. That's very valid. Like, why? And like – oh, I just saw that play when they hit each other. But, yeah, that's valid. And it really baffles me. I mean, I understand he's in the West. Now, if he's in the East, he's probably in the Eastern Conference Finals versus LeBron each year. And it baffles me because I thought Doc Rivers was a good coach. He's not showing that he's a good coach lately. I've never been high on Blake Griffin. I think Blake Griffin's a little overrated. I think has no jumper. He's one-dimensional. He's a 10 feet to the basket and in guy. You know, he doesn't.
He's a very flashy guy.
Yeah, go jump over a car. Good for you. I don't give a shit. That ain't winning championships. You know, get your freckles taken off your face. Your fruitcake. He sucks.
It also ain't. It also isn't wearing two rounds of the playoffs.
Yeah, I get all that. You know, it's crazy. I Chris Paul, in my opinion, like I said, he's the best floor general in the NBA. However, like we were just talking about, like maybe floor general doesn't matter as much anymore. Maybe you don't have to be.
The problem with that is, like we were saying too, he's a great floor general, but I think that is why the Clippers year in and year out get bounced because they don't have like a truly, truly elite scorer on that team. I don't think Chris Paul could be that.
Do you think in the NBA, like we're watching this game tonight, and Boston's down by 30? Do you think if like. Let's just say if LeBron's on the Celtics, do you think he ever allows his teams to lose by like 30, 40 points in the playoffs? Is that allowed? Should that be, or do you think some nights just happens?
He was down by 20 plus at halftime. We all saw how that happened. So I can only imagine what was said in that locker room.
I don't think he allows it, and I guarantee he gets in his guys' faces and tries to light a fire in them. But sometimes, I mean, you can't help it. Look at Kobe Bryant the years in that Boston series. They were up 30, 40 points the one time they blew it. And then they blew that whole series, actually.
And they got lit up in the Garden one time, too, by like 30 or 40. So I get it. It happens. It can be a snowball, bad game. And, you know, once you're down 20 in the third quarter, usually, well, at least in the 80s and 90s, they would start taking their guy. Guys just play all – they play right to the buzzer today. Not that they play 48 minutes, but they get their rest times, and they're in at the end of the game up by 30. What are they doing? Like,
Look at Tony Parker. He got hurt in the fourth quarter.
Like, I don't know about – like, if I'm a coach right here, okay, you're down by 30. I understand it's only the third quarter, but it's the end of the third quarter. Like, what? You're not coming back. Cut the crap. Like, get ready for the game four.
I would get ready for game four, but I still wouldn't just lay down and just
– I'm not saying
you don't need to. I mean, these guys nowadays, they don't even play back-to-back days. Like, this was the day after the travel day. But, I mean, like, tomorrow they have off. They don't have to worry about playing tomorrow. They have tomorrow off. They don't need it.
They'll be on their side now with these days off. You know, you want them to get them.
In a regular season, I mean, it's not that big of a deal. Cavs were one of the most scrutinize teams for doing it. How are they doing in the playoffs? They get to lose.
Yeah, if they're getting challenged.
The two big teams that did it were the Warriors and the Cavs. How are they doing in the playoffs? How many losses? Yeah.
Who did they play so far? San Antonio does it. San Antonio started that stuff. That's why, like, sometimes, like, I rip it. I don't agree with it at all. The only thing I think of is, Popovich started it, and he's a pretty darn good coach. Maybe he knows what he's talking about.
Did he get fined for it the 1 year, too?
They all get fined for it. It's an undisclosed amount, and the fans don't need to know, but I just think it's BS. Like I said, they have 82 games a year to play if they're healthy. They're getting paid. Fans pay money to see them. Like, if I go bring my son to a game next year in Philadelphia and Embiid doesn't play, I get ripped off. That's bullshit. I should get my money refunded because that's who I'm going to see.
Only exception is Donovan Jones. If you're only getting paid $9 grand a year, you can say whatever you want.
That is true.
Yeah, exactly. For $9 grand a year, I won't even show up at the arena. I don't know what the heck.
For $9 grand a year, you better, when he's on the bench, be getting one of the stands and going up and down the row selling cotton candy.
But you know what? For all I know, LeBron's giving him $50 grand a year. I don't know. Like, you know, he's getting paid. Then he's getting paid $60 grand a year to play basketball. I would do that. You gotta play. You gotta be in the line. I've never heard. It's just a new day and age. I've never heard of that stuff. Like, if Bird was healthy, he played. If Barkley was healthy, he played. If Julius Erving was healthy, they played. I mean, Iverson, Kobe. I've never seen. I do think it matters even in the regular season. Guys should not be just sitting their ass down in a friggin' suit. If I was a fan, I'd rip the suit right off them. I'd be thrown out of the arena. Get the hell on the court. I don't know.
You're not going to remember when somebody sat out January.
You're not.
If in the summer they win a championship.
But if you attend,
I guarantee that.
But if you attended the same, if you attended the game, you would.
Yeah, but if it helps your team win in the long run, you're going to tell me that person who went, that Cavs fan that went to a Cavs game where they sat out.
Dude, they end up
going to win the championship. They
all these guys.
So what is your point for the regular season? The way you're talking about the whole regular season is pointless.
Well, no, because obviously you need to get good seating to be in. There's no reason. I mean,
so last year when the Warriors were on that win streak and clinched like 2 months before the playoffs, they should have just sat the rest of the year and said fuck it.
I mean, I can't tell you. It was every other game that Curry, Draymond and Klay Thompson didn't play a fourth quarter. So, I mean, that's four games right there. You don't play the whole fourth quarter. There's a game right there.
Oh, that's completely different. I mean, they're blowing teams out and not doing any. Even if they didn't need to blow teams out,
I would have no problem.
Sat them. I mean, at least they played.
I would have no problem if the guys even suited up at least till halftime. At least do that. There's fans. There's little kids in the stands that want to see you. What about all these guys? And you know they all say this. Oh, I want to play every game like it's my last. What if there's – and Iverson used to say it, and that's why he went out there and put everything on the court every night. What, like, it's the same thing for a fan. What if that's the last game I ever see or last game I ever watch? Like, you want them to be – you got to be in the lineup.
The only thing that I disagree with the whole thing is I hate when – like the Cavs will sit LeBron, Kyrie, and Love. That I don't think. If you want to sit days, if you want to rest your guys, that's fine. But spread it out a little bit. There's no reason that you should go to a Warriors game and Klay Thompson, Curry, Durant, and Draymond should not be playing.
Yeah, that should never happen. I
just don't think it should happen. Period. No matter what, these guys have been playing basketball their whole lives. You mean to tell me they can't play basketball for half the year without having a rest like that?
Well, you know, when you're 16, 17, when you're a kid even playing bat, not even as in good shape as these guys, we would go down to the playgrounds and play every night, every day for 4, 5, 6, 7 hours a night and do it the next day.
Look at a guy like Russell Westbrook. He probably exerted the most energy possible this year. I don't think he took a rest day.
Yeah, but people are going to say, well, how's he doing now?
Yeah, but I mean that's an idiotic statement.
Yeah, because his team's awful.
And the team he was on.
Yeah, team stinks.
A team that coach is a dope too. Looking at the minutes he played, he's only playing. He's playing less than 40 minutes a game. I would have him playing 48 out of 48.
Yeah, I don't know why he didn't go to Billy Donovan and say, "Don't." I'm not coming out. I could do it. You're playing me 48.
Like I showed you the other day, they were winning 71% of that series. They essentially blew that series, coaching and playing. I mean, Russell Westbrook got some bad stretches too, but I mean, he still did everything he possibly could to win, and I'll respect that about him. Yeah, but they blew that series. That was a good series too, even though it was 4-1. I still liked it.
So would you put Pete Rose in the Hall of Fame?
Yes.
Yeah, that's a slam
dunk. Yeah. I'm from a different age. I don't think gambling on sports is really that bad. As long as you're not gambling on your own team and yourself.
Well, he was gambling. Like he did gamble.
Yeah,
I know that.
Yeah, but I mean,
but
that's why. But
the story is he was gambling on his team to win every night, and he managed them to win the game. So, like, he even said, why would I not?
I don't even have a problem with that. Yeah, you're betting on yourself to win. Who the fuck cares?
Well, the thing is, or the fine line is, people were worried that he was betting on his team and throwing the games. But I don't think there was any evidence of that ever happening. I think it's BS what they're doing to that guy. And you know what's going to happen? They're going to let him in after he dies. That'll happen.
Right. That is what's going to happen. And if for the people who think that he was out there betting against his team to win, I'd love to know how many hits he would have if that's the case and never did it.
Yeah. Well, he said I was watching an interview with him recently. He said he didn't bet while he played. He bet only when he managed. I don't know if that's believable or not, but that's his story.
I don't know. He should have been in. I think that's one of the first things that Rob Manfred should have done when he became commissioner is put him in.
And they met.
It shouldn't even be up for a vote. Listen, this guy's in.
They met. They talked about it. Like, it sounded like it was possible, but no, they didn't pull the trigger.
Yeah. What do you think is worse, what he did or steroids at baseball?
I don't care about either. I don't really care because I think in that era of steroids, I think everybody was doing it for the most part. I don't think like obviously
you're taking steroids, cork bats. I mean, everyone finds a way to get an advantage.
Now, of course, Derek Jeter did none of that stuff. Okay, let's put that out there now before we get any further. He's the only guy that was clean as could be. But I mean, you know who was doing it, and who wasn't. And listen, if you're McGuire and Bonds, that's what you wanted to do. Fine, good, you did it. Barry Bonds did not need to do steroids at all. So even if he did or didn't, whatever. I mean, the guy was a 3- or 4-time MVP before that stuff even happened.
Yeah,
he was a five-tool player.
There's people like him and A-Rod that it's a shame because what they were before all that stuff started. I mean, and I don't remember this, but I remember hearing stories like when A-Rod came up, like it was like the next coming of Jesus, pretty much in baseball. That's how good he was as a young kid.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe he wouldn't have hit as many home runs as he would have, but he still would have. I mean, I don't know.
The thing is,
there's people that tell me that the best shortstop that they ever saw was A-Rod. I mean, and if he would have taken steroids, he would have most likely been the first ballot Hall of Famer. And all stuff like that is just a shame that has to get brought up.
A lot of first ballot Hall of Famers, if they didn't do steroids, you look at Roger Clemens, you look at Bonds, you look at A-Rod. Yeah, I mean, you know, Manny Ramirez would probably be first ballot if he wasn't tainted a little bit. He still may be. I think he can still. He's not within the window yet to be elected, but I doubt it now. It's funny how like David Ortiz gets a free pass though. You don't really. Think like
yeah, and he kind of and he got brought up in all that and
I know
and I honestly think that what helped him and I do think for how bad it was that A-Rod missed a whole year, I think it kind of helped him that he came back. Obviously, he wasn't as effective as Ortiz was, but he came back and still proved that he could play professional baseball.
Yeah. Ortiz gets like that free pass. His name was in all the reports and. He's loved across baseball, and maybe it's his personality.
Well, a lot of guys – I mean, I think it also has to do with like how Matt said, how guys like handle the situation.
Yeah, you're right. I mean,
Bonds sort of like deflected it, you know, kept deflecting it, this and that. Well, and then you see a guy like Andy Pettit who was humble about it and apologized, and
yeah,
fans forgave him.
You never saw Ortiz call a press conference like A-Rod did and said, I have never taken steroids.
A-Rod.
And then comes out in a later interview and says, how sorry he was about it.
My cousin.
Yeah, see, that's what you can't tell.
My cousin, and on the street
it's it was 2017. Called, you're not getting away with murder anymore.
On the street, it was called D-ball. He was going, or D-bully. So he's going. That was, yeah, Bonds took the white cream unknowingly. Didn't know what it was.
Well, you remember what's his name? That guy, pitcher from Boston, Pedro Martinez. He said, like, in an interview like a year or two ago, he believes 60% of the guys he faced were on steroids in baseball.
I listen. If you're here's where you got to think about the and be empathetic to these guys. If you're a fringe player in Triple A. And you could boost your production to get to the bigs and make a few hundred thousand on a minimum salary at least. Would you not take it? I mean, I would. I mean,
I'm sure some look at. I mean, guys nowadays probably do. Look at a guy like Ryan Braun from the. If he's still on the Brewers, I mean, he blew up, and of course, after he had those great years, he came out that he was using PEDs.
Didn't Cano, Robinson Cano, get named in something or a couple years ago or rumored?
I don't believe so. If he was, nothing really.
Yeah, yeah, nothing came of it. Yeah.
And for stuff like that, I feel like if nothing ever comes through, then the guy was obviously innocent. Because I mean, they're going after big name guys, so why would they just let a guy like him alone? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't mean to bring up names to defame anyone. Or if nobody's name was brought up and I brought it up, we'll give them a pass. So Robbie Cano. For leaving New York, you're still a prick, but, you know, that's okay. It's okay. I hope you like it in Seattle. Hope you like last place.
Rain every day.
Yeah. You go drink your Starbucks and have fun in the rain, and yeah, okay, Robbie. I don't think the Yankees really put much effort into retaining him either. I think they were just – they didn't want to pay the money, and they were done with that. But anyway – what was I going to say? At least I was trying to look at the old text. Oh, yeah, Brandon Wimbush will win a Heisman. I honestly believe that kid's going to win a Heisman Trophy. That was my – I'm not going Beano Cook and saying Ron Paul will win two of them. Wimbush is winning one.
I hope.
That's a tough statement.
You know me, every year I get excited about these new guys and new players. You know how I was with Zaire and the – team he should have led. I thought he was going to win the Heisman. They're going to win the national championship in 2015. But Brandon Wimbush is a special athlete. They really got a winner in him.
Whoever the starting quarterback at Notre Dame is from now until the end of Damon's life, he will put them as the Heisman.
That's not true. I did not like Deshaun Kaiser. I did not like Tommy Rees.
He'll put them as the Heisman front runner. I have texts that say Kaiser for Heisman for me. Don't change tune on Kaiser.
Pal. Yeah. They're get out of here with that shit. I hate that guy.
4-8 made you hate
him. I'm glad he got drafted by the Browns. His career will be over in week 12, 13 when they actually throw him in there.
I think
nothing else to lose.
I think it's a great spot for him. I think it's a great spot for him. There's no pressure in Cleveland. Fuck, you win 3 games, you improve the team. And he's
true. You win 2 games, you improve the team.
Yeah, really.
I ain't going off last year.
I mean, he's from
shout out San Diego Chargers, now LA Chargers, the only team to lose to them.
He's from he's from Ohio. He's in his backyard. I think he's going to be okay. I mean, I don't know what he'll be when he plays, but I just think it's a good situation for him. I think Hugh Jackson's a hell of a coach. He's not going to get credit, obviously, after going 1-15. But all this draft, there's some talent there. I mean, they can't win 2-3 games next year and be okay. They gotta. I know this isn't saying much, but they gotta at least win 6-7 games. They gotta improve that much, 5-6 games over last year.
They do have some talent on the squad. I mean, they're not. There's not no one there.
Who did they get? Jabril Peppers.
Yeah.
They got Peppers.
And they still have Jamie Collins from the Patriots trade last year.
Yeah, and who would they go with? They got that tight end.
They got Myles Garrett, Peppers, David. I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah.
Him and Kaiser were their first 4 picks. I mean, those are 4 big names. 4 of the bigger names that were in the draft.
Yeah, they got young talent. They have that receiver they took last year too. Corey Coleman got hurt a little bit, but he still came back strong too. I mean, Pryor, yeah, he had fun Redskins.
Yeah.
Is that where he went?
So. Yeah.
Well, yes. Well, good for him, I guess.
But I'm not blowing up yet. I don't think the Browns are going to win four or more games next year, but I think they're finally putting some pieces together.
They are, and they're doing it through the draft, which is when you're that bad and you need to rebuild, that's the best way to do it. So,
and you have that many picks.
Yeah.
Did you see – I mean, obviously you guys saw Nick Saban sign an extension and yada, yada, but did you see there's a thing in his contract called the finishing clause? Did you see that?
I did not.
So what happens –
I read the article with that in there.
What happens is he actually gets a bonus if he doesn't leave the team during bowl season and stays through the like complete end of the year. Because you know how there's so many coaches, they coach the regular season, and that time between then and the bowl, they jump to a different job or the NFL, etc. Well, he actually gets a bonus each year if he does not do that and stays. It's called the finishing clause. I thought that was kind of nifty.
That's how all coaches should have.
Now, do you think they threw that in there more as just like appreciating him, or do you think they really think there's a chance that Nick Saban leaves Alabama for another job?
There's always a chance that he leaves there. Always. I don't think he's going to. Listen, he's older now. He makes $11 million a year now, but I don't think – but there's always – he gets – they said he gets like 10 calls a year, and you never know when one's going to pique his interest, and there's always going to be a chance. I don't know the number and percentage of what chance that is, but listen, he does jump around. I mean, he went from Michigan State to Miami.
When's the last time a guy like him, like a high-profile coach, one, left the school, but two, stayed in college? I'm not talking about guys like Tom Herman who get these upgrade jobs. I'm talking about a high-profile coach to leave the college to go to another college.
What about Urban Meyer?
Well, but he took those years off, though.
Yeah, but what about Brian Kelly?
From Cincinnati and Notre Dame.
He had Cincinnati and two back-to-back BCS bowls. I'm not saying that's like a top 10 program.
Yeah, that's another thing like Tom Herman, like I'm saying. He got a boost.
Oh, okay. So you're saying,
like, guys. Is there any college coach that I don't think took like the same level job?
I don't think they're worried about him going to another college. I think they're worried about him
same level.
Going to the
NFL. I mean, Matt Rhule did.
Well, it's not a big upgrade because all the stuff going on in Baylor, but Baylor's definitely a bigger football market than Temple.
Yeah, but I think he's a good coach.
He is a good coach.
I mean, it could have happened this year if someone signed Les Miles. I don't think he's a great coach, but he's a high-profile guy.
But he wouldn't have left. He got fired. There's a difference.
He got fired. True, yeah.
But yeah.
No, I mean, it doesn't happen on a huge scale. And one of the reasons why I don't think it happens on a huge scale is most of those people that are like those top five coaches, if they're making a jump, they're going to the NFL. They're not going to a different.
Or they're retiring. Yeah, I agree.
I mean, one that comes to mind back in the day was Gary Barnett, Colorado, Northwestern. That comes to mind. He was a hot name. But again, I don't think they put that clause in worried about him. He's going to another. He would be foolish to go to another college. I think it's more of the NFL.
Yeah, it has to be. I don't know. I can't see him going anywhere else.
I don't know who's going to pay $11 million. That's a lot. Here's a name for you, Steve Spurrier.
Yeah.
But he went to the Redskins before he went to the South Carolina, I think. I mean, Lou Holtz went from.
I was just going to say that. When did he, after he left Notre Dame? But didn't he take a break too, though?
Yeah. But I'm saying before Notre Dame, he was at NC State to Arkansas to Minnesota to Notre Dame. He jumped around a lot. He was like he's like the Larry Brown version. And he did hop around a lot. You could say Petrino, there's one, Bielema from Wisconsin to Arkansas. That's a big – they're two big programs.
Yeah. It's just not very common.
No.
Because, like I said, most of the time when people – and like Mark said, that's more in there, especially a guy like Saban, that he's not going to leave and go to the NFL.
Guy from Navy with the Georgia Tech.
Navy? Do they play football? Oh wait, they beat Notre Dame last year.
They beat them. They beat them two or three times in the last 10 years now.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if you consider Chris Peterson, you know, Boise State a big school to Washington. I mean, Boise's been pretty the last 10 years.
Yeah, I would say they're pretty decent. He won a lot of good games there with them.
Yeah, I mean, Mike Leach got fired because he locked the kid in the closet at Texas Tech. So, Craig James's kid, by the way. But then he went to Washington State, but he got fired. So there's a guy I'm trying to think. I mean, who's the guy? Who the heck? Who's at Nebraska now? Mike Riley, right? He went from Oregon State to Nebraska, and then Gary Anderson went from Wisconsin to Oregon State. So, I mean, there's movement, but we're not really hearing names like, oh, he went from Texas to Alabama, or he went from, you know, Penn State to Notre Dame, which would be a huge upgrade because that's scumbag school, by the way. So there's any Penn State fans. Go rape some kids. Anyway.
The only time that I could see it maybe happening is, like, say Saban goes to the NFL and he does it in that time frame that we're talking about. Then I could see maybe a big time coach trying to make that jump to Bama.
I mean, there's guys that have the opportunities, I'm sure. I'm sure Dabo Sweeney, if he wanted to leave Clemson to get a – I don't know if there is a better job at the moment, but Dabo's probably on speed dial all, you know, everywhere. You know, what about James Franklin? He went from Vanderbilt to Penn State.
Yeah, I mean, they're two bigger schools.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure Mark D'Antonio gets calls all the time to go somewhere. Yeah, who knows? I don't know. Bob Stoops. I keep thinking Bob Stoops coached at Florida, but he was only the defensive coordinator. But I was going to say Stoops, but no, that's not the case. Mark?
He'd be a perfect example of what we were just talking about if he'd ever leave Oklahoma and go to Notre Dame.
Yeah. Mark Richt, he got fired at Georgia, right, before he went to Miami? Or did he leave? Or did he just leave?
I don't know if he got fired, if that was just like a mutual agreement thing.
Now, that would be a big one, going from Georgia to you.
Yeah, I forgot about that, yeah.
I know he didn't coach their bowl game. I'm trying to think.
I know he was only one of four teams in our aim beat.
Yeah, we have, luckily. Yeah. I'm trying to. He was dismissed after 15 years.
15 years he was at Georgia. Holy moly.
Yeah. So I'm going through these texts really quick. Do you agree that Phil Jackson is overrated?
I agree to an extent that all those coaches that coach these great teams are a little bit overrated. Yeah. I mean, come on. Like a guy like LeBron James on Cleveland, who probably does 50% of the coaching, if not more. Like, I don't know. I personally don't think Tyronn Lue is.
Yeah, he's not going over to LeBron. So LeBron, he's not. LeBron ain't gonna listen to him. He'd be like, buddy, I'm gonna be a billionaire someday. Go sit your ass down. I'll shoot when I want to shoot. I'll do it. Yeah, but see, LeBron is so, his IQ in basketball is so high that Tyronn Lue just knows he probably doesn't have to waste his time on LeBron.
Yeah, I see. I think the coaches that should get more credit are college coaches. They deal with young, dumb kids. They have to be good for them to excel. NFL, NBA, it's a little different. It's like I said, you get one or two superstars on your team. Like even Popovich. I think Popovich is a great coach, but he lucked out with the talent he was.
Well, in the NBA, it's different because you're more of a – you're like, so there's two different definitions of a coach to me. I agree. In college, you're more of a teacher. Whereas in the NBA, you're more of a manager. You're managing egos. You know, these guys are making a lot of money. They're doing different things.
Yeah, we were talking the other day saying Tyronn Lue said he had the hardest job in basketball coaching in Cleveland. I said, for one, I don't agree with that because, like I just said, when you're gifted those players, it's not that hard. But I did say the hardest thing that he has to do probably is managing all those egos.
Yeah.
And keeping everybody happy.
Number one, exactly what you were saying. He doesn't have the hardest job in the NBA. How would you like to be Brett Brown the last 3 or 4 years? I'd want to hang
with him. Oh, my God, yeah.
That's
what about especially this year? At one point in the season, Sixers didn't have enough guys.
I'm surprised.
What did the NBA do for them? They let them sign so-and-so players, whatever that's called?
I'm surprised when Sam Hinkie and now Brian Colangelo, when they walked in – to the Wells Fargo Center and they looked up at that scoreboard that hangs, I'm surprised Brett Brown wasn't hanging off there. Okay, because his career record, like, he needs to be the Golden State Warriors for like 10 years just to like have a winning record. His career record,
he shot himself in the foot.
His career record,
taking that job.
Yeah, his career record is going to look awful. And you know what the funny thing is? I think he's a good coach. I really do. I think he is a very good coach.
Yeah, the Sixers playing pretty damn good. He was playing good and stuff like that.
They play hard every night. They overachieve. You know, even when they won 10 games that year, they should have won two. I mean,
I think he makes players better too. I like Brett Brown.
I like him too. I just hope he is could just keep. I don't know. He takes so many punches to the gut by all those losses, and I'm surprised he stuck around. And if they ever fire him, he should burn the city down. It's ridiculous.
If they fire him, that's probably the worst thing the Sixers have done, not besides the fact that they tanked for 5 years in a row. That is, did not even let him reap those benefits. That'd be terrible.
So
if they ever do turn around.
Yeah, I mean, and another thing, and I don't really like him, but Steve Kerr is a hard job. Not that he has a hard job because he has all that talent, but people expect them under any circumstances to hold the trophy at the end of the year. They're the big, huge favorites. So if they don't win, that's you know, LeBron or Tyronn Lue, the coach of the Cavs. He has LeBron, and they're expected to at least get to the finals. But I don't think many people, besides like you know you guys, I know you guys think Cleveland should or could win it, and they very may well, but they're not the favorites. So how would you like to be Tyronn Lue and have Kyrie Irving, Kevin Love, the best player in the world, and still not be the favorite? I actually think that's a great job. I don't think it's hard at all.
Yeah, I agree, and I think to a different extent, having LeBron is almost as good, not really off the court, but
he's like being a player in that coach. Huddle
because there's not many people in the NBA that you could look at and say that he does the stuff that he's capable of doing the stuff that he does when either in the huddle or pregame or stuff like that. I mean, I think he's one of a kind when it comes like that. And part like I can't see like Steph Curry doing that or James Harden doing that or Russell Westbrook doing that or even Kawhi. It's just
they're not those type of players.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think that helps a lot.
So Bill Belichick or Nick Saban, who's a better football coach, regardless of where they are?
Bill Belichick.
So
he gets Bill Belichick. He would make me a fuck. He would let me get a fucking max deal wide receiver probably if he sued me up.
Yeah.
Nick Saban. Nick Saban's a great coach. I know he has a lot of stuff to establish himself there. But
you know,
Marky, me and you all the time look at recruiting rankings. Alabama's number one for almost 15 years straight. When you're getting the best players, I mean, it's just how we said in basketball.
That's what I was gonna say. That's what puts Bill Belichick over the top for me, because it's the way he manipulates the draft. It's his free agent signings. It's all the stuff that he has to work around and work with you guys know. Have you seen a team like the Patriots be at the top of their level competitive like the way they are for a 15-year span? I don't know if I've ever seen any. Because the NFL, like most sports, is so
I'm only alive for 23 years, so that's kind of hard.
I
was just going
to say, realistically, no, I never have.
I have.
That's the only thing I remember.
Yeah, I'm a little bit – like I've seen the Bills go through great years and, you know – and
lose.
And the Cowboys and the Niners, but I don't think any of those lasted for 14, 15, 16 years where – They've won five Super Bowls, and it's been crazy. And we know, like, sports is cyclical. Usually you're up for five, you're down for five. You're up for five, but not them. So
it's just crazy how you said, they manipulate the draft. And they just the Patriots just – they know how to get the domino pieces to fall perfectly every time. Like, who knows? Maybe there are guys in the draft room really saying that Tom Brady is going to be the next best quarterback when they draft him in the sixth or seventh round. And they they thought that. Like, I don't know that. I wasn't in that room to make that claim, but
really quick,
they got one of the top 10 best quarterbacks ever to play the game. One.
So, no, he's not one, but we'll talk about that another time because I have a couple more topics before we go. Should you think MLB should get rid of the DH?
No, I think it should be put on both sides.
See, I'm both ways with this. Because one, I think I like the DH like MLB wide because I think it's As a fan, it's kind of exciting.
There's no reason those pitchers should be pitching or should be hitting the ball. Come on now. I know there's a couple of them that could smack the ball around, but let's be realistic.
But then I look at it as, and I know, Mark, you'll remember this, the perfect example is why I hate it is, if you remember, Chin-Ming Wong was one of the best pitchers in baseball.
Yeah.
Got hurt rounding the bases.
Crossing home plate. He stepped on home plate too hard and fractured his foot or something. Yeah.
In Houston, I'll never forget when Houston was in the NL. And it ruined his career.
Yeah.
He never was the same.
Oh, yeah, especially when guys like that, you said, they're not used to rounding the bases. And people think that's easy, but you step on the wrong part of the bag, boom.
But see, the thing is, what about a guy like – see, you can't even make it optional because then it's not it's unfair. But I was like a guy like Bumgarner who should stay off ATVs. But
you can make it optional if an AL team wanted to. They could hit their pitcher.
Okay,
it's just stupid. I mean, I get what Bumgarner does, but you're going to tell me that if he's in interleague, I mean, now he's done till after the All-Star break, but they play in interleague. They're going to let him hit? I mean, I highly doubt it. Sure. They're going to take a guy who's on their team that hits every single day and was brought to the major leagues to hit.
I agree with what you're saying 100%. I mean, if I'm a GM or, you know, I'm a manager of my skipper like Joe Girardi, I do not want my number one ace pitcher out there running bases like that, potentially getting hurt, potentially getting beamed in the hand or something like that over some stupid rule like that. That's why I think it should be DH on both sides.
They could get hit by a line drive and be eyes.
Right. Yeah, but still, that's their job of their pitching. I mean, they're a pitcher I don't think should fucking have to hit.
Have an argument just for one side, really, because – I could in both ways, whatever it would be. I mean, you would find something that I would say to kind of disagree with both and agree with both.
Yeah, I go back and forth with this. I really don't have a conviction on an answer either, but I do know, like, what about the baseball purists? I mean, pitchers, positional players were they were supposed to hit. That's part of managing. That's part of
right.
I don't know.
It's like, part of baseball, if you
like,
think about it.
Like my grandfather and probably your grandfather too hated the DH because that wasn't a part of what they grew up with. For 70, 80 years, there was no DH. You know, it's just I don't – yeah. And then like if the American League or nationally gets the home field advantage in the World Series, let's say the AL, well then now, you know, you get four games at your home place and the DH. Is that not – like a double whammy? Isn't that two advantages? Yeah, the NL gets to use a DH.
But they did away with that All-Star game stuff, though.
No, it doesn't. It's by best record now, I thought.
Yeah, it is.
But it's still – but it doesn't matter. Some team has to get 4-3.
Right. It's like say and I don't think that there's really much of an argument that Madison Bumgarner is the best hitting pitcher in baseball right now. I mean, do I think that it would change the game? No, but if I'm as a Yankees fan, I hope that the Yankees have home field advantage game one, so don't have to have him pitch and hit in the same game. It's just kind of, like I said, it's kind of like a moot point for both. I'm fine with the way it is. To be honest, I don't know why I said that. I wish it was either one way or the other. I don't get why. I mean, there's so much interleague nowadays. Pretty much every night a game's going on, that it should just be a universal rule.
Yeah. I mean, I know when you play video games or something like that, you change the settings. I put the DH in both leagues just because if I play a National League team in the World Series, I want my DH when I'm the Yankees. So that's the only reason I do it, and that's why – that would be my preference. But like when you think about not in the video game world, in the real world, I actually may lean on just putting the pitchers in there because that's the way.
Yeah, as fans, it's great watching CC Sabathia walk up to the plate with a bat. I mean, there's just something about it that it's kind of, as a baseball fan, you look. Not necessarily look forward to, but enjoy watching.
It's fun.
I'm talking about the bottom of the ninth. There's two outs.
They'll pinch hit.
Well, they would pinch hit.
They would pinch down. I mean, but you know, in sort of that point, you know, if a pitcher's pitching a great game and it's the seventh inning, like, you have a decision to make. You know, do you take him?
I will say this, and it's especially with it being different in both rule or in both leagues. I mean, managers in the NL have it a lot tougher than managers in the AL.
Absolutely.
I mean, they never have to worry about it.
Yeah, absolutely. You could drive yourself crazy like that.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, like I was saying, like, you could be at 92 pitches in a 3-3 game, you know, in the seventh inning, and your guys just aren't even – what do you do? Like, it's
– Or I'll give you one better. It's 0-0 game. I mean, you guys pitching an absolute gem through seven innings, and what do you do? I mean, you're kind of handcuffed.
Yeah. Where's the last stadium you've attended?
That I've attended, Camden Yards.
Oh, there you go.
Baseball or?
Yeah, baseball.
Yeah, Camden Yards.
The new one, right, for you?
Yeah.
Yeah, me too. Believe it or not, been besides like this weekend when I went down the Inner Harbor and actually like stood outside and saw Camden Yards.
No, that's a lie. Actually, my last stadium was Phillies.
What a dirtbag.
Dollar dog night, and we got a $14 ticket last year.
You'd have to pay me to go to see those scumbags at Citizens Bank Park. The only time I'll go to Citizens Bank Park is if the Yankees are playing or Bruce Springsteen's in concert.
And the last football stadium I went to was the Link when Notre Dame and Temple played there.
But we all know how Matt feels about the Link.
That place is a dump. That place is such a dump.
Actually,
I didn't like it. I'm not just saying that to say.
And I've never been in it. It is just a dump. Everything about it is a dump.
I will not have good things to say. I do not like the new Meadowlands. I do not like the parking.
That place is a dump too.
To walk, you got to walk 16 miles to get to the stadium after you park.
The stadium's a joke.
It seems like it's in the wilderness.
Part of it, you can't like blame the Giants, but part of it you could. Why not? I mean, you're a professional team. I get that they only paid for half the stadium. They only pay for half the costs and all this. But that's what they had to do because it's a neutral stadium. I mean, you can't do anything. I mean, the seats, they're an ugly gray color. I mean, everything around it is just gray because, I mean, two teams play.
Now, is it an historical reason? Is it a money reason or a geographical reason? Why do they still stay in the same stadium?
I would imagine it would have to be money-wise. I mean, think about it. You build a stadium, yeah, you get money from that city, but then you have to you pay for everything else. But in this case, you pay for half of it.
Well, geography-wise, it's not like you're going to move the stadium into Manhattan. There's no room. I mean,
no, they should be down in Queens with the Mets. That's how bad of an organization the Jets are. Let them go down in Queens somewhere. Put them right in the middle of the runway for all I care.
Well, yeah, I've never been being a Dolphins fan. I don't like the Jets at all, or the Bills, or the Patriots. But
it's just stupid that teams. And I mean, I know I'm pretty sure professionally, especially just the three main sports. I think there's only two teams four teams that do it: two in football, two in basketball. But I mean, for football, it's a lot different than. When basketball does it with the Clippers and the Lakers, I think, but
because there's no outdoor element to the NBA. They could use digital everything that changes the way they do go in and change like the decals. You don't even know the Lakers play there besides the statues in the outside when you go in the Staples Center.
And that's vice versa. You would never know that the Jets play there when you go there and see a Giant game. It's just, I mean, it's technology. I mean, I remember watching a video of how they do it within a week span. I mean, it's one, it's pretty incredible, but it was really nice a few years ago when the Jets played in actual Giants Stadium and the seats were red and it was the Giants Stadium and the Jets just used it. Now,
yeah, when I mean,
it's neutral.
When I went to see Notre Dame and Syracuse play there,
It's a dump. It's because I remember seeing it. It like it, everything's just all gray, and it's a big bowl.
Yeah, you could tell that like the lighting in the stadium. They would light up Giants blue, and then you'd look over and be in the Jets green. Like you could tell what teams played there. But yeah, I mean, I didn't like the view. Notre Dame was playing horrible. I literally left at halftime and turned my radio on and drove home. That's how disgusting I was.
I remember that exact game. I remember fucking Everett Golson breaking off a 60-yard run and getting tackled from behind and fumbling.
Yeah, and I literally listened to the second half and in on the radio. And I told Damon, I was like, I'm walking out. I texted him, like, I'm out of here. Because I knew if I waited till the end of the game too, like the parking, getting out of there. I was like, I didn't like it. I mean, the one thing I must say about the Philadelphia sports complex is I usually never have much trouble when you think about the volume of people that are getting out of there. It's set up nice.
And for how much I despise those however many square feet, they did it right. It's nice that all those stadiums are right there. I mean, at least that's how I feel. Like, I mean, when I went to the Sixers game last month, it was nice. You walk out, there's two main professional stadiums right in front of you. I mean, that part about it is I like that. And I like when cities try to do that. Like, I know, like, Seattle, they're right next to each other. Baltimore, they're right next to each other. I personally think that's kind of a nice touch when they're all in like the same vicinity.
Yeah, I like that too, because it's an actual complex. It's a sports complex.
Yeah.
It's everything's there. Like,
right.
Yeah, I don't.
Right.
Like, I don't understand why Dallas, you know, Arlington, like, their stadium's like an hour from Dallas. Like, why aren't they
it's the in the middle of nowhere?
Yeah. Why aren't they the Arlington Cowboys? Like, I don't get that.
Yeah.
They're not even close to Dallas.
It's the same thing with when the Niners moved. They're not in Sanford. They're in Santa Clara.
Exactly. Yeah. I don't get it. We're gonna close it down with some pop culture. I went on a text tangent last night and said The Godfather is the greatest movie of all time. Would anybody care to debate me on that?
No. What was the greatest movie of all time?
The Godfather / Godfather 2. I won't argue if somebody says one or the other is the best ever.
No, I'm with you on that.
The reason I brought it up is I saw that the crew, I actually watched it on YouTube on the Today Show, the crew actually came back for it's 40. That movie came out 45 years ago. They were all De Niro, Pacino, Talia Shire, Robert Duvall, and James Caan were on the Today Show for about a half hour the other day. And, yeah, you know, you could tell they're old and a little senile now, but great actors. Great actors. Every one of them. They have so many memorable scenes and quotes and lines. It's just the cinematography, the script. It's just amazing. You can't duplicate. I mean, people have tried to duplicate that with – you know, I mean, and they've come close. I mean, I think The Departed's a really good movie, but it's not even close. I mean, come on. It's like even Goodfellas and Casino, like they're great movies, but they're not Godfather level.
No, I would agree with that.
Damon, you don't watch movies? You have no comment.
I said I agree. I like The Godfather.
All right, what's the second best movie? We need a heated debate before we close this down. Give me something to get angry about.
I could have got you fired up, but too late into this. I would have got you fired up, but we'll save that time for next time.
Second greatest movie ever. I don't know, dude. I'd have to like sit there and think about that for a little bit.
Gladiator, Shawshank Redemption. Come on, what is it? Dark Knight?
Uh-huh. Dark Knight, it's so long.
So is The Godfather.
I don't know. I do like The Dark Knight. I think? I'm a big fan of Cinderella Man. I think that's a good movie.
Yeah, but that's not top two, top five even. Come on.
I don't know if I could put a number.
The original Toy Story.
That's a good flick. Space Jam. Space Jam's a good movie.
Space Jam can't touch fucking Toy Story's jock.
And then we have this copycat trying to make another Space Jam. Thinks he's going!
Well, yeah, Space Jam 2. Michael Jordan's 1, LeBron's 2. It's very, I mean, Don't you see the correlation here?
No, I don't. I see.
You know what movie I watched the other day for the first time? I thought it was excellent, and I never just gave it the time or day. I've heard great things about it. It's like, I mean, it's an award-winning movie, but Schindler's List was really good with Liam Neeson.
Yeah, I like Liam Neeson.
That was a great movie. And on the topic of war movies, my favorite war movie of all time, which might be in my top five movies of all time, Saving Private Ryan. That's a great movie.
Yeah, it's a good movie.
There's so many different categories and stuff like that, though. Because, like, I'm more of, like, a comedy-type war movie guy. Like, my favorite ones are like that, like Apocalypse Now and stuff. Like, I don't know.
Schindler's List is probably... A lot of people, I bet you have that in the top 10. I don't actually – I've seen that so long ago, I don't even remember it. Oh, wow.
Gayest thing might be said on this topic, but fucking Titanic was a great movie.
Was a great movie.
I'm surprised you don't have Forrest Gump in there as well.
I'll go on a limb and put Full Metal Jacket as my top five in there.
Don't say The Matrix. I will shut this off on a dime.
I don't even think I watched the full Matrix trilogy. I'm not a big fan for that.
No Silence of the Lambs?
I'm not a big horror thriller type guy like that. That's just not my forte in movies.
Drama thrillers are, that's what I like. But what about American History X?
It's another great one.
Ed Norton, highly underrated. I like him as an actor. Now, he's not no... Anthony Hopkins, Marlon Brando, De Niro, Pacino—not on that level, but he's underrated. I'm trying to think. I'm looking down. There's Gladiator. There's Lion King. There you go. American Beauty.
Unforgiven. Great.
It is a good movie. It's a good movie.
Rain Man. Great. Hangover. Great. Had to drop them back and forth. You guys picked the reference up.
Oh my god. Well, let me get my we all know we're going to close it down now with we all get to go and enjoy the Golden State Warrior Utah Jazz game. Who you got? You think the Jazz have a chance as we close it down in this series at all? Nah.
I think the Jazz have a chance to make it competitive for all about 5 minutes.
Can it go to a game six or no?
No, there's no way Jazz.
I would be surprised. I just don't.
They might be able to win one.
So you think it'll be over in five?
Yeah, if not, yeah.
There's the Rams.
If not four.
There you go, you coward. You dropping two. God, there you coward. Well, we'll leave it at that. We'll leave it at Michael Jordan is the greatest of all time, and he will be for the foreseeable future.
Yeah, and LeBron's too. Thanks for everyone for listening.
We'll get into
it.
We're going to have a strict MJ versus LeBron podcast one of these days.
Go for it, because I'll fire back. That's not reasonable, because I do think Michael's won. But we could have a two versus your... 2 through 5, and I'll annihilate you.
Your boy's 3 and 4 in the finals, buddy. You better win 4 and 5 till you annihilate me.
Hey, man, if he had the talent that the guys that you put ahead of him did early in his career,
he's more talent than Bird had.
Had early when he was on Cleveland, early in their career. The people, Bird, Magic, Michael, they all had great people in their first at least 5 years. LeBron had nobody. He had Ilgauskas, that's it. And it's not even close who they had. Not even close. Like I said, that's for another time, because I'll go on for hours about it.
Yeah, I mean, Larry Bird did win an NBA title his second year in the league, and I think Kevin McHale was a rookie. I mean, I wouldn't really go as far as to say that team was loaded. So,
I mean, he had a Hall of Famer after his first year in Parrish, but I guess he don't count.
Yeah, but see, those guys, like Larry Bird, made Robert Parrish a Hall of Famer. Like,
you don't right. Like I said, I'm not going to get into it because I'll just keep going.
Chris Bosh.
The best player in those seven years.
Chris Bosh.
That he had.
Chris Bosh and Dwayne Wade were established players.
No, I'm not talking about when he was in Miami. I'm talking when he was in Cleveland. His first 7 years. He had nobody.
He lost two finals with Chris Bosh and Dwayne Wade. He lost the finals with Kyrie and Kevin Love.
I'm not getting into it.
They were hurting at finals.
I'm not getting into it because it's not even comparable teams. If he had what those guys had early on in his career, he may have won three there, been in six.
Yeah, and if Jordan didn't retire, he'd have eight. He'd have a lot farther to go.
We'll see because I mean that's all that he has.
Larry Bird doesn't have a degenerate back, he would have five. I mean,
yeah. Well, if the queen had balls,
he should be a king. That's right. That's a
signing
good one.
Off. Go Irish.
Go Irish.
Go Irish.